This is GMJ Audio from the Georgian Medical Journal News. How Vitamin D Becomes an Antimicrobial Weapon Inside Your Immune Cells. Editorially reviewed by Professor Georgi P. Kakadze, MD, MPH, PhD, GMJ News Desk. Moderate evidence: vitamin D is widely recognized for its role in bone health, but emerging research reveals a more dynamic function. Immune cells actively convert it into a potent antimicrobial compound on demand. When macrophages detect a pathogen, they simultaneously activate two genes, CYP27B1 and VDR, to build their own vitamin D activation system and manufacture cathelicidin, LL37, a peptide that directly attacks bacterial and viral membranes. This mechanism highlights vitamin D not merely as a structural nutrient, but as a functional raw material for adaptive immune defense. Key takeaways: macrophages manufacture cathelicidin, LL37, an antimicrobial peptide, by converting vitamin D on demand when pathogens are detected. A strong correlation exists between serum 25OHD levels and the ability to produce this immune weapon. Those with deficient vitamin D show impaired responses. Cathelicidin is only secreted when two conditions are met: sufficient vitamin D substrate and an active pathogen signal. Blood testing for 25-hydroxyvitamin D is the clinically relevant measurement, because this is the form macrophages convert for immune function. Study at a glance: R equals 0.63 correlation coefficient, p0.1, between serum 25OHD concentration and cathelicidin mRNA induction in human macrophages, according to Liu et al. S2006 study: cathelicidin secretion scales with vitamin D availability fold increase in LL37 secretion by stimulated immune cells across vitamin D dose levels. Aldecker et al. 2022, 1.0 baseline, deficient, 1.8x moderate levels, 2.5x highest vitamin D dose. Source: Aldecker et al. 2022, Georgian Medical Journal News. The macrophage's on-demand weapon manufacturing system. When a macrophage's toll-like receptors detect a pathogen, the cell doesn't simply activate a pre-existing immune response stored elsewhere. Instead, according to research published by Liu and colleagues in 2006, the macrophage upregulates two genes simultaneously: CYP27B1, which encodes the enzyme that converts circulating 25-hydroxyvitamin D, 25OHD, into its active form, and VDR, which encodes the vitamin D receptor that uses it. This dual activation allows the macrophage to construct an entire vitamin D activation system within itself. Once activated, the macrophage converts whatever 25OHD is available in the blood and uses the active form to trigger the cathelicidin gene. Cathelicidin, also known as LL37, is an antimicrobial peptide that functions as a direct weapon against pathogens. It punctures bacterial membranes and disrupts viral envelopes at the point of contact. This mechanism represents a sharp departure from thinking of vitamin D solely as a structural component for bone mineralization. Vitamin D deficiency blunts the immune response to infection. The practical implications emerged clearly in Liu and colleagues' experimental work. They exposed human macrophages to pathogenic stimuli while varying the availability of vitamin D in the surrounding serum. According to their 2006 study, toll-like receptor activation induced cathelicidin production and killed intracellular Mycobacterium tuberculosis, but only when sufficient 25OHD was present. Serum drawn from individuals with low vitamin D levels was markedly inefficient at supporting cathelicidin induction. Crucially, when the researchers added 25OHD back to deficient serum, cathelicidin induction was restored, demonstrating that the limitation was substrate availability, not a defect in the cell's machinery. The strength of this relationship was quantified. The correlation between 25OE concentration and cathelicidin mRNA induction reached R0.63, P0.001, a statistically robust and highly significant association. This finding established that vitamin D status is not a minor modulator of cathelicidin production, but a primary determinant of the macrophage's ability to mount this specific antimicrobial response. This association has relevance across global infectious disease epidemiology. Tuberculosis, which was the focus of Liu's experiments, remains a major cause of mortality worldwide, particularly in populations with high rates of vitamin D deficiency owing to dietary factors, limited sun exposure, or skin pigmentation in high-latitude environments. Both substrate and signal are required for functional output. A refinement to this mechanism emerged in 2022. Research led by Aldekwer demonstrated that the production of cathelicidin is not a simple dose response to vitamin D alone. According to their published findings, while higher vitamin D levels increased intracellular cathelicidin production modestly on their own, the actual secretion of LL37 into the surrounding environment, where it can interact with pathogens, only occurred when cells were simultaneously stimulated with a bacterial or viral mimic. Secretion scaled proportionally with 25-OHD concentration, reaching approximately 2.5-fold higher levels at the highest vitamin D dose compared to baseline deficient conditions. This two-signal requirement has important mechanistic implications. No pathogen signal, no secretion of the weapon, even if vitamin D is abundant, no adequate vitamin D substrate, no weapon to secrete even if infection is present. Both inputs are independently necessary for the functional output. This helps explain why vitamin D supplementation alone, without an active infection or immune stimulus, does not lead to massive cathelicidin production. The biological system is exquisitely tuned to avoid constitutive antimicrobial peptide release, which could damage the host's own tissues. Macrophages require both adequate vitamin D substrate and active pathogen detection to secrete antimicrobial cathelicidin, LL37. Serum 25D concentration directly correlates with this capacity, R equals 0.001, and secretion reaches 2.5-fold higher levels at optimal vitamin D doses. Liu et al. And Aldekwer et al., 2006-2022. Clinical measurement: why serum 25-OHD is the right test. For clinicians and patients interpreting vitamin D laboratory results, understanding which measurement matters is essential. The standard blood test, serum 25-hydroxyvitamin D, is the appropriate marker because 25-OHD is the form that macrophages and other immune cells convert for functional use. It circulates in the blood as the storage and transport form, and it is this substrate that determines the capacity of immune cells to manufacture antimicrobial peptides on demand. When health systems or laboratories measure 25-OHD, they are measuring the actual nutrient pool available to immune cells, making it a clinically actionable biomarker. The alternative form, 1,25-dihydroxyvitamin D, is the active hormone used by target tissues, but is tightly regulated and poorly reflects overall vitamin D status or immune cell substrate availability. This is why 1,25-D measurement is reserved for specialized clinical scenarios and why population-level vitamin D assessment relies on 25-OHD. Readers interested in further detail on clinical laboratory updates can access additional resources from the GMJ News Clinical Updates section. What this means for patients: maintaining adequate vitamin D status, serum 25-OHD, typically 20 to 30 ng per milliliters or higher, supports your immune cell's capacity to manufacture antimicrobial defenses on demand during infection. Vitamin D supplementation is not a substitute for infection prevention, vaccination, or medical treatment, but it may optimize one component of innate immunity. For clinicians, vitamin D assessment via serum 25-OHD should be considered part of baseline immune competence evaluation in patients with recurrent or severe infections, particularly tuberculosis or respiratory infections. Correction of deficiency, typically below 20 ng per milliliters, may enhance macrophage-mediated defenses, though clinical outcome data from intervention trials remain mixed. For policymakers, vitamin D deficiency is a modifiable risk factor for impaired antimicrobial immunity, with disproportionate burden in high-burden tuberculosis and respiratory infection regions. Population-level vitamin D assessment and supplementation programs, particularly in high-latitude or dark-skinned populations with limited sun exposure, may represent cost-effective public health interventions aligned with infectious disease control strategies. Frequently asked questions: does vitamin D supplementation prevent infections? Vitamin D supplementation supports one mechanism of innate immune defense, cathelicidin production in macrophages, but does not prevent infections on its own. A 2022 meta-analysis in the BMJ found that vitamin D supplementation modestly reduced acute respiratory infection risk in individuals with baseline deficiency, but had minimal effect in those with adequate levels. Vaccination, hand hygiene, and medical treatment remain primary prevention strategies. What vitamin D level is adequate for immune function? Current clinical guidelines typically define serum 25 OHD levels of 20 nanogram per milliliter, 50 nmol, as the minimum for overall health, and 30 nanogram, 75 or higher, as optimal for bone and immune function. However, the exact threshold for maximal cathelicidin production in the population has not been definitively established. Individual variation is substantial, and supplementation should be guided by baseline testing and clinical context. Can I get enough vitamin D from sun exposure alone? Skin synthesis of vitamin D depends on latitude, season, time of day, skin pigmentation, and use of sunscreen. In northern latitudes during winter, sun exposure is insufficient to maintain adequate 25 OHD levels. For most populations, a combination of moderate sun exposure, fortified foods, and supplementation as needed is the most reliable approach. Your healthcare provider can advise based on your location and individual risk factors. The emerging picture of vitamin D as an active substrate for immune cell weaponry, rather than merely a structural nutrient, reshapes how clinicians and public health professionals should think about deficiency and supplementation. Future research is likely to clarify whether targeted vitamin D repletion in high-risk populations, particularly those with active or recurrent respiratory infections, reduces disease severity or duration. Until then, correction of frank deficiency remains a reasonable clinical goal grounded in mechanistic and epidemiological evidence. Source: Liu et al., 2006, Aldequer et al., 2022.